I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
So we have testimony. Amen. Give the Lord a better shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Bible says that we became him by the words of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen. So we have our sister Tina to give us a testimony today. Amen. Let's dance together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, encourage her. Encourage her. Amen.
My testimony is more of a lesson that I learned. I became disabled in 2011. I developed carpal tunnel in my right wrist, and it spread to my left wrist, and I had to take off work because of it. I had to have surgery on both of my wrists and both of my thumbs, so I wasn't able to work on the computer anymore, and I couldn't. That was all. The only work I knew was on the computer. So, but little did I know that in the process, my relationship with God became stronger. Wow. I had to totally rely on him instead of trying to do everything in my own strength. Wow. So my faith grew, and I had to swallow my pride because I had to depend on other people to help me. So in doing so, I learned humility. So that's my testimony today. Wow. Is I learned humility.
Amen. Powerful. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, that's a very good testimony. Amen. Pride can actually destroy you. Amen. All right. Powerful. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus Christ this morning? And let's say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are here in our midst. Oh God, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for what only you can do. Thank you for touching our hearts already. Thank you for speaking to us and for convicting us of the things we're doing wrong, of the things we could do better, the things we ought to be doing that we're not doing, and the things we're doing that we ought not be doing. I pray, Lord, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and for grace to obey you. We thank you, Lord, because everything is in obeying you. And we pray, oh God, that today grace will be given to obey you. We thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, put your hands together for the Lord one more time. And high five two or three more people before you sit down, okay? All right. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, today, before I start sharing with you, I want to introduce this little book to you. And the book says, Understanding the Quiet Time. Hallelujah. Which is the secret of spiritual strength. Amen. How many want to be strong spiritually? How many want to develop a strong relationship with the Lord. You want to have a strong relationship with the Lord. Well, knowing the Lord and knowing Him in a way that produces strength internally and confidence towards Him comes from spending quiet times with Him.
Amen.
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 Having quiet times. Wow. Spending some time every day with the Lord.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Every human being needs that connection with his Maker, which is a quiet time. Do you see what I'm saying? And a time that is not interrupted by the phone, by texting, you know, by Instagramming. See, all these problems are associated with only one device. One device brings us all these interruptions. Hallelujah. And that is because it's not a quiet device. That is why when you're having a quiet time, that device must not be there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But much like that device, since even that device has a quiet time, that is why your phone every so often has to return to the charger. And it has to be left there. You have to allow it to have its quiet time. It needs to be there. It needs to be connected. It needs to be able to spend some time on its own, by itself, charging up to have the energy within itself to cope with the calls and demands and text messages and all kinds of things it has to deal with in the course of the day. You know, has to download sometimes very heavy files, sometimes pictures, you know, and sometimes even stuff that's not pleasant. But it has to have the capacity to carry it and to transmit it. The reason why some things hit you during the day and you don't seem to have the power to cope with it is because you haven't had a quiet time. You are not charged up. Do you understand? Your phone has more power than you do. Yeah, your phone is capable of handling more stress than you can. Your phone can deal with more heavy situations than you can because it had a quiet time and you didn't. Do you understand? This little book is going to teach you how to have a quiet time. Amen. It's going to show you how to have a quiet time, the importance of a quiet time, you know, and the reasons why you must have a quiet time. And I like this chapter right here, 7 steps to an effective quiet time, right? How to have an effective quiet time. Pray. Number one is to pray to begin your quiet time. Number two is to read a passage from the Bible, you know, and then how to choose a passage from the Bible. How many have tried to read the Bible and they don't know where to read? Yeah. Some people take the Bible and say, Lord, speak to me. And then they just open the verse and say, Jesus turned water into wine. Wow. Today I'm going to be drinking. That's not how to choose a verse. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's not how to choose a verse from the Bible. Okay. So I want to recommend this book to you. What does this book cost? $7. Okay. So for $7 only, you can bring one of these with you. Amen. And you can buy this as a gift for someone. You know, sometimes you can tell from the way people are behaving that they are missing a quiet time. You know, classmates, you know, friends, boyfriends, girlfriends. You can tell from their behavior, this guy is not connected to any power. They can't seem to handle much. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And if you're relating with someone who can't seem to handle much and who wants to take you on permanently, you begin to wonder what the future is going to look like. Do you see what I'm saying? So we need the capacity, just like, you see, your phone, even things that produce power depend on something else to be powered. That's why even a generator needs to be powered by something. Do you see what I'm saying? So you cannot keep going on your own. Even if you are the most intelligent person, the smartest person, you still need to be connected to something because power needs to be empowered. Do you understand? Even power must be power to power. You see? So if you're a human being who is not connected to anything, then you are in trouble. It won't and shouldn't be a surprise to you that you may not be doing so well. But God is coming your way today with a solution. And God wants to help you. Amen. So grab this book, and I'm sure it will be a transforming blessing to your life, and you will never again be the same. Amen. Amen. All right. Last week, I was sharing with you about your destiny, and I just thought I should finish that this morning. What do you think? Because I only told you part of the story of your destiny, but I believe God has much more in store for you. Amen. Amen. God has much more in store for you. Your destiny in Christ is a glorious one. And the more you know about it, the better it will be for you. And the closer you come to fulfilling that destiny and becoming who God created you to be in Him. Amen. By the way, I love that scripture today, the memory verse. What do you think? It says, by this shall all men know that you are what? My disciples. If you have a big signboard in front of your church. Is that what it says? If you dress sharply to church with a big cross round your neck. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you pierce your ear and have a cross hanging from it, are you sure? How about if you tattoo a cross on your forehead? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have a fat Bible, big fat Bible that you carry to church, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. If you are humming a church song all the time, is that what it says? Are you sure? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Hallelujah. So the way you know you found the right church is when you can feel some love. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you got to feel some love. That's how you know you're in the right place. You must feel wanted. You must feel some warmth. You must feel like people are interested in you. You know, some people don't even know how it feels to be loved. And some people don't even want to be loved. I get surprised that people get upset when someone looks for them when they have not been in church for some time. It's because they don't know love. Yeah. Love offends them. Care offends them. Because sometimes too many things have been called love. See, the word love is probably the most commonly used word and is used for anything. Once someone feels some warmth or goodness towards something, you know, they say love. So it's the same word that's used for apples, used for dogs, used for cats, used for atmosphere, weather, everything. The same word is used. It's thrown around quite recklessly. And so a lot of people have encountered the so-called love and ended up being deceived and being tricked into a lot of pain and a lot of disappointment. And so people have become wary of anything that looks like what they encountered before in the name of love. Do you see what I'm saying? But love is a beautiful thing. Love is of God. Love is a God thing. The Bible says, beloved, let us love. Let us love. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Hallelujah. Which means when you start to approach God, one of the first things you can expect to encounter is love. Do you see? He says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. In other words, if you start to approach people who know God, do you see, who are born of God, you're going to start experiencing love. They can't help but love you. They can't help but care about you. They can't help but call you and find out how you're doing and look for you and search for you and even go beyond your resistance, you see, and go beyond the walls you put around yourself, you know, to prevent yourself from being loved. And they'll be climbing all over these walls and trying to get into your life, because it's a God thing, and anyone who has God can't help but love. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, excuse my love. Tell the person, tell them it's not my fault. It's because I am so full of God. So I can't help but love you. So excuse my love. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't be angry with people when they try to love you. Amen. Don't be angry with people when they try to show you some care. When they try to show you that they care about you. When they're looking for you. When they're looking everywhere for you and asking everywhere for you and asking everyone for you and driving distances to find you. And so they're not spying on you. Tell somebody, it's not spy work. It's called love. Yeah, say it the way I'm saying it. Say, it's called love. It's called love. They're not spying on you. They're not visiting you to see who you're shacking with. No. No, no, no. That's not why they're there. That's not why. That's your business. Hallelujah. But we have a duty to love you because God lives in us. Amen. So he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, the verse that follows the other one, the first John verse, it says, rather, he that loveth not, do you see? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Do you see the thing? So rather, when you feel the absence of love, it is the absence of God. The evidence that God is not in a place is the absence of love in a place. It's not, when even if you have pictures of God on the wall, it doesn't mean God is there. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you can have pictures of someone, you know, in their home. It doesn't mean he's at home. Does it make sense? Yes. So, pictures of Jesus Christ on the wall, you know, some people that I once had, someone went to one of our churches and was upset because they didn't have any picture of Jesus in the church, you see. So, they were upset. But it's not pictures of Jesus that do it. It is the evidence of his presence, which is demonstrated in the love you feel and find among the people over there. Amen. Amen. Right. So tell someone, I have a duty to love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. So tell them, stop stopping me. Because I'm going to love you by force. All right. Amen. So let's get to the scripture real quick and try to finish this. Amen. We're talking about your destiny in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Your destiny in Christ Jesus. That's what's the whole plan. What is God trying to do with your life when he saves you? Amen. And last week we saw in Romans chapter 8 and from verse 29, the Bible says, those he called. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, let's start from there. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Amen. So God has a plan that we will be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, every one of us is destined to look like Jesus. Amen. Every one of us is destined to look more and more and more like Jesus. The longer you stay in Christ, the longer you know him, the more you must look like him. Do you understand that? The more you must begin to resemble Jesus. People must begin to look at you and see Jesus gradually being formed in you. Amen. Right? Now, they even say that when people live together for a long time, after a while, they start to look alike. So I'm looking forward to the day when I start looking alike. I'm really looking forward to it. When someone will see her passing and think it's me. What do you think? Pastor Charles thinks we already look alike. You can see some resemblance, right? It's like we're brother and sister. The day it happens, you will know that you're looking at a miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But it is true that many people actually look alike after they have related with each other for long enough. Just ours just needs much more time. But yeah, for some people, they look alike. I think Pastor Charles already looks like his wife. Do you think so? Yeah, I think so. I think they already look alike. Yeah. Those of you who don't know his wife, we'll put it on parade after church. She'll do a little walk around here. You'll see who she is. Right. So, if we are encountering Jesus and living with Jesus and walking and obeying his instructions, I think that a lot of the resemblance comes from the interaction. And some of it is also in how they even sound. They seem to say the same things. They seem to think alike. Do you see? Because really, the Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? So when you see two people who've been walking together, the longer you walk together, the more agreement is required to sustain that walk. Do you see what I'm saying? That is why, let me not say that. So the longer people walk together, the more they tend to agree to keep that walk going. And so as you remain in the Lord and as you remain in Christ, the longer you remain in Christ, the more agreement there will be between you and Christ, who is represented in his word. Amen. The more your life is governed by the word of God, the more you begin to look like Christ. Christ-likeness is formed in you as your life begins to conform to the word of God. Hallelujah. So the Bible is not just for pleasurable reading, you know, just to generate a kind of religious high, you know, just to get a high feeling from reading, you know, scriptures, especially when you read them in the King James Version, if thou, though thou art, thou servest, you know. Those words even have a, you know, they have a righteous feeling about them, you know. And you feel like, you know, you're doing something right. Do you see what I'm saying? But that's not what Christianity is about. The scriptures are to be obeyed. And we can obey the scriptures. We can conform to the image of Christ as is revealed in the scriptures. Amen? We can live by the word of God. You can live by the word of God. Amen? The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So if you're living on bread alone, then you are half dead. Truly, it means that your life is only partly powered to be around. Amen. It says, man, and this is coming from the manufacturer. Do you see? It's coming from the one who made man. It's not somebody's idea. It's not a recommendation by doctors or human beings or, you know, wise people. He says, where's the word? He says, but he answered and said, it is written. You see, now somebody was suggesting to this person, this is Jesus Christ, by the way, and someone was suggesting to him, this is after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says he was very hungry, you know, then the devil brought a suggestion. He says, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You know, which was supposed to be an appealing temptation to someone who hasn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Do you see? But Jesus knew better. And Jesus said to him that it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So true life is bread plus every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is the fullness of life. You know, your bread on the left, the word of God on the right. So as you're eating the bread on the left, you should be eating also every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God on the right hand side. Now, a lot of people are just tuned to bread. They just eat bread and there is no word of God. Do you see? If you eat bread and there is no word of God in your life, as regularly as bread is coming into your life, you also need a regular, constant supply of the word of God. Because anything you live by, you need a regular and a constant supply of that thing, isn't it? Like oxygen, isn't it? If you live by oxygen, you can't come here and say, oh, I breathed in the morning, I'm just waiting for lunchtime breathing. No, there has to be air everywhere you go, isn't it? Yes, because you live by it. You live, it sustains you. You can't do without it. So it has to be everywhere you go. Right? So, same way, everywhere you go, there has to be food. There has to be something you can eat. No matter where you're going, who you're visiting, which country you're going to, there has to be something there you can eat. Isn't it? Yeah. That's the extent of your dependence on the Word of God. You have to have a constant supply of the Word of God. You can't take breaks on the Word of God and still continue to have a full and fulfilling life. Of course, you're welcome. Wow. All right. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't take breaks off the Word of God, you know, and still live a full, complete, and fulfilling life. Do you get it? Something is wrong. You're not designed to function perfectly without the Word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you think that you're living a perfect and complete life without the Word of God, something is wrong and you don't even know it. That makes it even more serious. Do you see? A person who is hungry and doesn't feel it. Do you see? Your first announcement will be when you're dead. Hallelujah. But God is redeeming you today in Jesus' name. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the Word of God must be obeyed. We can live and obey the scriptures. Amen. And God's plan is for us to be conformed to the image of his Son as revealed in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Then we read a verse from Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, which was showing us a picture of the Son, isn't it? Yeah. A picture of the Son. It says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Hallelujah. He says, the Lamb of God was slain to receive power. The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ, isn't it? Yeah. Easter is just around the corner, and we're going to be hearing more about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that was slain to take away the sins of the world. That is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the Lamb of God that was slain received power. Amen. So conforming to the image of Christ means the introduction of power into your life. Hallelujah. It means the introduction of power into your life. And I'm talking about spiritual power. Hallelujah. Not physical power. Physical power can always be challenged by human beings. Even when it appears to be ultimate power, it's still challenged by human beings. I think that in recent times, we've seen a lot of that. Our president, every time he's exerted his power, somehow some human beings are able to come up with something to sort of curb the power and to check the power and to control it. Because when power is given to you by humans, then the power to turn that power off still remains with the humans. Wow. Do you see what I'm saying? That is why we're looking at power that comes from God. Do you understand? When God empowers you, no one can take that power away from you. No one can shut the power off when God has turned it on. Do you understand? You will have to look for God to find a switch. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we are talking about power that is coming to be with you as a Christian. Power over the powers of darkness. Power over evil. Power to say no to sin. Power to say no to habits. Power to say no to things that have enslaved you. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when people realize that they are captives of habits, then in order not to appear like you're a captive of the habit, you present like someone who chooses that habit. Do you understand? You choose to have that habit. Does it make sense? Yeah. It's like you present like someone who is just doing it on purpose. Do you get it? One day, I remember, there was one brother who was like, I think he was cheating on his wife or so. And then when his wife found out, then he told the wife, if you tell the pastor, then I'm going to go ahead with it. Do you understand? He said that you can either keep quiet and I'm going to try to stop it. But if you blow the whistle on me and you tell the pastor about it, then I'm actually going to choose it. And I'll tell the pastor that actually it's my new choice. Do you understand? So it's intentional that you are history and this is my new life. You know, then I will now announce it to the pastor nicely. So you choose, you see. It's interesting, isn't it? But the truth is that a lot of people are powerless against sin. It's not that they want to do it. They can't not do it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. A lot of people who do all kinds of things. I mean, people do things which hurts them and they know it's hurting me, but they can't stop. Do you see? But it feels like an acknowledgement of weakness to accept or to acknowledge that you can't stop. Do you see what I'm saying? So you have to present like, I choose to do it. And I'll stop when I want to stop. And a lot of people sometimes do not even know who is in charge until you try to stop. You think you're doing something and you're going to stop when you're ready to stop. But it is when you start stopping that you actually know who is in charge. Like, well, it's like when you're driving, you don't know your brakes have failed till you start trying to stop. So when you start trying to stop, that's when you know who is actually driving the car. The car has a mind of its own, has taken over a long time ago. It is now as you're trying to stop, as you're coming to a stoplight, that the car is showing you who is really in charge and who has been in charge maybe for the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It's not been you, it's been the car.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. So when you start breaking a habit, you want to stop drinking. That's when you start to see, oh, all this while, I didn't have the power. Do you see? Yeah. You want to start smoking. You want to start doing drugs. You want to stop doing drugs, I mean. You want to stop shooting stuff into your body. I mean, if you need anything like that for you to feel normal, then you are abnormal. Abnormal means not normal. Do you see what I'm saying? So if something has to come for you to feel normal, something that is not originally a part of you, has to come for you to get a feeling or a sensation of normalcy for a short time, you see, then it means that you are not in control. Hallelujah. But God is able to give you power. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. The Bible says, behold, I give you power. Can you see that? It says, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. This is the kind of power that God has given to us as Christians. It is the kind of power that comes with having Jesus. It's the kind of power that comes with knowing Jesus and taking Jesus seriously. Hallelujah. Because he comes with it. Can I have an amen? Amen. He comes with it. If you have him, you know, there's no way of scanning you without scanning the power. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, I happen, my car is one of those cars that, you know, you push a button to start so long as the key is inside, you know. And what I have to do sometimes is just to have a bag that has the key. Do you see what I'm saying? I just have to bring a bag that has the key in it. And when I get to the car, it can't help but respond to me. It must respond because I'm carrying with me something it respects. Do you understand? And that something is somewhere on me. And as long as that something is somewhere on me, it has no choice but to respond. Wow. But you know, I've had a few occasions where I've walked to the same car without that something, you know, and I've tried to push the button. And it quickly reminds me that, you know, that's not how it works. It quickly reminds me that, you know, without that little piece, you are nothing. Yeah. Do you understand? Without that small piece, you are nothing. And the car very quickly reminds me that you are nothing without that small piece. So I start going back to look for that small piece. And I go and search for it. And as soon as I approach the car with that small, it's a very small thing, very small. When I approach the car with it, that huge car just bows. It surrenders to just a touch and just a push. And it starts to respond. That is what you can't do without Jesus Christ. Because the power is in him. Remember the verse we read, he says, the lamb was slain to receive power. So if you want that power, you need the lamb. You need to carry the lamb with you. That lamb must be with you. Life without the lamb is life without what the lamb brings. And that is life without power. Hallelujah. That is why demons and evil spirits can have a field day with you, because the lamb is not in his proper place with you. Anytime you're out of sync with the lamb, you're also out of sync with what he brings. When you're disconnected from the lamb, you're disconnected from his power. You're disconnected from what the lamb brings, because you are disconnected from the source. And when the source is disconnected, then your power goes with it. Does it make sense? Yes, your power goes with it. Your power over sin, your power, victory over devils, demons, evil thoughts, depressive thoughts, you know, suicidal thoughts. All those things that seem to crush you, you begin to be powerless against all those things because the source of the power is turned off. Hallelujah. And it's turned off by your lack of fellowship with Him. It's turned off by turning your back on Him. It's turned off as you walk in disobedience. But as you connect to Christ, the power comes alive again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Said the power does what? It comes alive. The power is turned on. Hallelujah. And you have power. You have power to say no. Yes, you'll be looking at temptation and you'll say no. Jesus was able to say no. I mean, someone who hasn't eaten for 40 days says no to food. That's some power. You know, and especially when the Bible says after that he was hungry. It's not because he's the Son of God. Do you see? But the Bible says specifically that he was hungry. Hungry. He was feeling the same pangs, hunger pangs that we feel when we're hungry. And yet he was able to say no. He was able to say no. No to his cravings. No to the strong edge. No to the strong desire. No to the opportunity. No to the fact that no one is looking and no one will see you and no one will hear you. No one would know what is happening. He was still able to say no. Hallelujah. But we're not able to say no because we don't have him, or if we have him, he is not in his rightful place in our lives. Does it make sense? I see you placing Jesus, making him the center of your life. Hallelujah. Make Jesus the center of your life and he will make power available to you. Can I have an amen? He'll give you real power, power to win in life. Hallelujah. You'll be able to afford real joy and real happiness, not artificial, delusional kind of joy and happiness. But you'll be able to see these days when I watch television, you know, I try to turn the television on and try to, you know, and I go through the channels and I can see there's nothing that seems to be able to lift me up. Do you see what I mean? There's nothing I can see on the television that seems to offer me something I don't already have. Wow. Does it make sense? Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, because some people watch television because they are bored. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But I think I'm never bored. Wow. Maybe that's the problem. You see, rather, as I'm watching the thing, I'm getting bored. You see, and that's why you keep going from channel to channel to see if you find something that can actually sustain my interest. And I can go through all of them and realize there's nothing. Then I start to see how blessed I am. That God has blessed me to experience satisfaction without this little box. Do you see what I'm saying? To have even things to do. To have things to do. I mean, if I want to talk. I have a lot of people to talk to about so many different things. Do you see what I'm saying? But some people are lonely and they don't have anybody to talk to. Do you see? But knowing Jesus has given me a lot of people to talk to. Hallelujah. And even what to talk about. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to take Jesus seriously. Amen. Take Jesus seriously. Be serious with your relationship with the Lord and you will not regret it. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Then he says the Lamb has what? Riches. Isn't it? Wow. Knowing Jesus also means the end of poverty for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, so why are you pretending? Right? Knowing Jesus also means, he says, the Lamb was slain to receive what? Riches. And to receive what? Wisdom. Hallelujah. That means knowing the Lord also affects the way you think. Do you see? Yeah. And everybody's life is a product of the way you think. You can't actually pretend to be wise. Do you know that? Do you know that you can't hide your wisdom? And if you're foolish, you can't hide it either. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So everybody's life is shaped by the quality of his thinking. And the way it looks is the way it is up here. Do you see? Yeah. The way it looks, the way it looks is the way it is. It is everybody is actually a display of his wisdom. Hallelujah. But when you come to know the lamp, and the lamp is in its rightful place in your life, then now you are beginning to introduce yourself to higher levels of wisdom. Amen. Wisdom that is not consistent with your background. Wisdom that is not consistent with your education. Wisdom that is not consistent even with your skin color. Wisdom that is not, you know, people are not used to you exhibiting such wisdom. But it comes from knowing the Lord. Hallelujah. When you know the Lamb, when the Lamb is in his proper place in your life, you begin to display wisdom. You begin to live a certain quality of life, which is afforded by the wisdom he places at your disposal. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, life is very tricky. In fact, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of the road leads to death and destruction. Can you imagine that the road that is leading to destruction looks like the road that leads to life? Means that life is very tricky. What do you think? It means a lot of things that present or pretend to offer happiness and pretend to offer joy actually have sadness and sorrow and tears somewhere down the line. Do you understand? You need wisdom to be able to discern such roads. You need the wisdom that the Lamb provides to be able to discern when you are set on such a road. And the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Amen. In Christ, we get to think like Christ. When your thoughts are affected and influenced by the Word of God, you start to think like Christ. If you live your life by what the Bible says to do and what the Bible says not to do, you are exposing yourself to higher wisdom. You are living the life of God by living through His Word. Amen. Amen. Wisdom will come through as you obey the Scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Lamb was slain to give us wisdom. So all foolish decisions have ended from today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All foolish decisions, you know, and sometimes, you know, a series of foolish decisions, or let me, nicer expression, a series of unwise choices. How about that? I think that's more churchy. It's more religiously acceptable and it's nicer, all right? So a series of unwise choices, do you see, creates a life and creates a destiny which is very difficult to reverse. Do you understand? So you see that at a point, your life is such that, you know, it's not changed by one simple choice you make, even if it's the right one. Is not changed by one simple decision, do you see? Because you didn't get there from one step, but sometimes a series of steps that have brought a person to that place. You see, even our dirty clothes sometimes need more than one wash. Do you see what I'm saying? You will not get all the dirt out with one wash. So it calls for consistently obeying the Word of God, you know, and consistently remaining in Christ and following the instructions in the Word of God to bring you to a place where you can actually reverse the effects of disobedience or a long life of disobedience. Hallelujah. Amen. But God is going to help you do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then the Lamb was giving us strength. Strength. You're going to have strength in Jesus. Say, so you're going to have strength in Jesus. Strength to cope. Hallelujah. The hard times will not break you down anymore. Those same situations will come back and find you smiling. That you can afford a smile in spite of what is going on. In spite of everything falling apart around you, you can afford to stay strong. And people are going to wonder, what keeps you so strong? People are going to wonder, how are you able to stay so strong? How are you able to stay together? It is because something on the inside is working on the outside to keep you together. Hallelujah. You will not fall apart again. I said you will not fall apart again. In the name of Jesus. You will not fall apart again. Hallelujah. Yes. As long as we go through this life, we're going to hear bad news. We're going to hear all sorts of things. Some will be great to hear. Others will be unfortunate to hear. But it should not affect you. Amen. You should still be able to stay and remain together as one piece. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding will keep your heart and will keep your mind. The peace of God will keep your heart and it will keep your mind. The peace of God, God's peace will preserve you. Amen. God's peace will preserve you. It will keep your heart and it will keep your mind. Hallelujah. How we need the peace of God to keep our hearts sometimes. Because our heart is the part of us that easily breaks to pieces. Isn't it? Your eyes are watching and your heart is responding. As your eyes are seeing what is happening, then your heart begins to respond to it. But the peace of God will keep your heart. Amen. From breaking apart and falling to pieces. Say amen. Amen. And then the other thing is what? Honor, isn't it? Strength and honor. Honor. Honor is respect. Hallelujah. Amen. God is going to bring honor into your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Embarrassment and disgrace will go away. Amen. And God is going to make you an honorable person. Amen. Then another thing is glory. Glory is beauty. Amen. Amen. So God is going to make your life beautiful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the last one is blessing. Blessing. Blessing, a blessing for every curse in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. A blessing for anything that is designed to bring frustration to you, God has a blessing for every curse. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God has a blessing for anything that rightfully belongs to your life. Amen. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So sometimes the seeds we have sown have qualified us for certain harvests. And they are not always pleasant. Some of our harvests are supposed to be very thorny because the seeds we sow are seeds of thorns. Especially if you sow seeds that bring pain to others, then you're waiting for a harvest of pain, which is often much more than the seeds. Every harvest is usually more than the seed that generated it. Is it not true? Yes. If the harvest was equal to the seed, there would be no point in planting the seed. You might as well just keep your seed. But we plant the seed because it is the only way to multiply that seed. To have more of that seed, you need to plant it. So when you have sown, sometimes consistently, seeds of pain and frustration and disappointment and so on in other people's lives, then you have put yourself often in line for a life of frustrations and pain and so on and so forth, as you have caused to others. But that's when the mercy of God steps in. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And the mercy of God does not say you didn't do it. It says you did it, but it pardons you. Hallelujah. It pardons you. It pardons you. And it says, in spite of what you did, you can have it yours free. Even though you don't qualify for it, mercy allows you to have it. Hallelujah. Mercy allows you to have it. And that's why we ought to be grateful to God. You know, we have to keep an eye out for the things God has graciously allowed us to have that we didn't qualify to have. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. If you be honest with yourself, you know that you don't qualify to have certain things. You don't qualify to be in certain places. You don't qualify even to know certain people. You don't qualify to have certain experiences. But the mercy of God crosses all that out. The mercy of God cancels all of that. And God puts his signature on there. And God writes upon your life, pardoned. God says, you are pardoned. You are pardoned. You are pardoned. Yeah. So the Bible says, who shall lay a charge to God's elect? When it is God who justifies. When God says, I have forgiven him. Who can raise up a matter against someone whom God has forgiven? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Who can raise a matter against someone whom God has forgiven? You know, so sometimes people get surprised at some of the people God uses. You know, yeah, they get surprised at some of the people whom God uses. I once met a preacher who was telling me, I was sitting right next to him, and then he told me, you know, I killed somebody before. Yeah. I looked at him again. What does a killer look like? He said, I killed somebody before. Yeah? Yes. And he said, when a young guy came to date his daughter, he went outside and he met the guy, introduced himself to the guy, and he told the guy, I just want you to know that I killed somebody before. Yeah, he just threw that in there. The guy was going out with his daughter, and he just went outside to meet the guy, introduced himself, and he told him, you know, I just want you to know that I've killed someone before. In case you're deceived by the fact that I've become a preacher, it wasn't that long ago that I killed somebody. I haven't forgotten how to do it. Hallelujah. Yeah. But God is so merciful. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. You know, it's very difficult to tell sometimes where the west ends and where the east begins. Sometimes they name the roads east and west. Like, this is East Villa Street. And I'm just wondering, where is West Villa Street? You see, it's very difficult to tell where, because they are so far apart indeed. And the Bible says, something that can be so near you can be taken so far from you that it's even very difficult to associate you with it. It's difficult for anyone, you know, to imagine that you are the same person who has such a history. God is able to separate our sins from us and separate our mistakes and our errors and wrong judgment and things we have done we shouldn't have done and things we shouldn't have done which we have done. You know, God is able to separate us from them so much that it's hard to associate it with you. And that will be your story. Amen. Hallelujah. The lamb was slain to receive blessing. Say amen. Amen. Now let me show you one more or two more things concerning your destiny in him. And then we shall close. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed today? Are you learning something today? Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, my destiny looks great. Tell that person, my future looks very, very bright now. Tell that person, you'll be jealous of my future. You watch. By the time God is through with me, you will be very jealous of me. And I'll be praying for God to heal your jealousy. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. We're just getting ready to close, but just look at this. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Hallelujah. So your destiny in Christ, he says you, he says ye is an old way of saying you. Do you understand? Yeah. If you like, for the sake of this scripture, you can start using the word ye from now on. All right? When you see someone say, "How are ye?" Right? Yeah. See, in modern English, you singular is the same as you plural. Do you understand? But in original English, before we ruined it, you know, ye was you plural. Do you understand? Right? So he said, ye, these are the words of Jesus. And he says, ye are the light of the world. Isn't it? Then he says, look, I compare you with a city that is set on a hill. Do you understand? And he says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Hallelujah. It stands out, isn't it? So in your destiny, God plans for your life to be outstanding. Hallelujah. God plans for you to have an outstanding life. Yes. Not outstanding for the evil associated with you. Do you understand? Some people are notorious for the bad things they do. That's not what God is intending to do. God intends for your life to be outstanding. He says you are like a city that is set on a hill. You're like a city that is set on a hill. You're like a city that is set on a hill. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The most expensive places in any modern city are the parts of the city that are set on a hill. Is it not true? Yeah, it's cheaper to live in the valley. I don't know. And if you, LA teaches you that very well, that all houses built with the same materials from the same Home Depot don't cost the same price. Isn't it? Same labor, same materials from the same shop bought at the same time on sale don't sell for the same price. No. The ones that are set on a hill, you get it? They have a value added to it. The positioning itself adds value to it. Hallelujah. So when you're ready to buy your house, buy it on a hill. Amen. Yes. Amen. Buy it on a hill. Hallelujah. He said the city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hidden.
That's right.
So God intends for you to have a life that will not be hidden, but your life will be outstanding. Hallelujah. A remarkable life awaits you. Hallelujah. Don't be deceived by where you started. And don't be discouraged by how far it seems you are from an outstanding life. Because sometimes people don't believe these things because, you know, you just think of where you're coming from. And your thinking is going to take a long time to get to the top of the hill. But that's God's promise to you. That's God's promise to you. God's promise to you is an outstanding life. And he has already paid the price for it. He paid for it already. Yeah, you just have to wait for it. You just have to wait for it. You already paid the price. You know how you go to In-N-Out and they collect your money before your food actually comes? Yes. Christ has already paid for it. Right now, the next thing is the real deal. No matter how long it takes, an outstanding life is waiting for you. Your life will be a surprise to your family. You're going to stand out. You're going to stand out. You're going to stand out. Yes, an outstanding life. Expect to have an outstanding life. Yeah, Yes, expect to have an outstanding life. Yes. Not in pride, because you know you didn't do anything to have an outstanding. It's imputed unto you by Christ. Christ gave it to you. You're not better than anybody, but God can set you up such that you are blessed. You are outstanding. Your things are working. People look at your marriage and they want it. And they want you to tell them the secrets. What are the secrets? What are the secrets? And you tell them it's not a secret. It's just God who's made my life so shine. Hallelujah. He says, you are the light of the world. People will find their way through you. Yes. And darkness will dissolve when you are involved. When people don't know what to do, that confusion will go away when you show up. Yes. Once you show up, confusion will go away. Amen. Darkness, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to turn, not knowing which is right, all of those doubts will dissolve with your arrival. Amen. Because when you are involved, God will be involved. Amen. And God's light will shine through you. Amen. Into every situation. Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter where you started from. Look, it doesn't matter that there is no outstanding person in your family. It should not matter. It will begin with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It will begin with you. Amen. When babies are being born, when someone is having a baby for the first time, it doesn't matter that they haven't had a baby before. There's nothing like, there's no child here. So what? I'm the first. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So there's no baby in this home. So what? I'm starting. And there are many more to come. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God is going to begin a line of outstanding people in your family, beginning with you. Yes. People are going to want to be like you. Amen. Amen. Expect it. Amen. Expect it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said expect it. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. The next verse. Right? What does it say? It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Can you see it? It says, it giveth light to all that are in the house. Hallelujah. It giveth light to all that are in the house. So God is going to use you to bring light to many people. Hallelujah. God is going to use you to bring light to many, many people. Hallelujah. You're going to have a great influence on people. You're going to be a great positive influence. Amen. And some people are going to tell you, your life guides me. I want to do what you're doing. Yeah, I want to follow you. I want to do what you're doing. I want to choose what you have chosen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sometimes when I've had the privilege and blessing of being with Bishop, you know, maybe in a place where we're eating, and the menu comes and he chooses it, I just choose the same thing. I said, maybe this is what makes people shine. You get it. Whatever is having, that's what I'm having. Easy. Very easy. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever he's having, I'm having the same. Same, same, same. Same, same, same. Hallelujah. Because it's a blessing to be in the presence of a blessed person. And that's what people are going to say about you. That you are blessed. They'll see that, you know. And there are some people whose eyes God opens to see and recognize who is a blessed person. Do you understand? And one of them was Jacob's uncle Laban. Wow. And Jacob's uncle Laban told Jacob, you tell me how much you want to be paid. And I want you to work for me. I want you to keep working here because I have seen that God has blessed me because of you. Wow. Yeah, so I don't want you to go. Wow. I want you to stay. He said, marry one of my daughters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just marry. And Jacob tried the first one. He said, second one. Yes, you can have the second one. It's not often that you find the same man offering his first and second daughters. Because the man chose the first one and didn't like her. And so try the second one. He was so desperate to keep that connection with Jacob that he didn't mind. He said, you can have, you, the first one didn't work. He said, she's too quarrelsome. No problem. Try the second one. The younger one may be cooler. I think the younger one is cooler. Just add her. You know, just add her to the first one. Just bonus. You can keep the first one. Just add the second one. Anything to keep my connection with you, because I've seen that God has blessed me because of you. That's going to be your story. That will be your testimony. People will say that God has blessed me since you entered my life. Since I became friends with you, God has blessed me. Since you came to live here, God has blessed me. Since you moved into my life, God has blessed me. Since you got a job here, things are changing around here. And since you entered this apartment, God has blessed me because of you. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, I have had, you know, a couple of landlords who have cried when I was moving out of the house. Wow. Yeah, they cried. Wow. Yes. I remember this last one in Chicago. You remember we went to say bye-bye to her, you know, and she was crying. She was crying. We were not taking her house with us. But she was crying that we are leaving. Yeah, because she could see that a blessing has come into her life. And she felt like the blessing was just leaving. Hallelujah. Your landlords are going to cry. Yeah. Do you get it? But you'll have to tell them, I was never meant to be a tenant forever. The blessing on my life is such that it converts me from a tenant to a homeowner. You know, so I'm sorry you have to cry. I'm just leaving your house, but I'm not leaving your life. Yeah. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That I can't help it because God has blessed me. Yeah. That is going to be your story. Yeah. When you turn in your resignation because you're going for a higher job, they're going to say, oh, is there anything we can do to keep you? Is there anything, can we increase your salary? Or can we do something to keep you around here? Because we have learned from experience that God has blessed us. Because your presence here seems to bring a peace around here. You know, it doesn't even matter that you can't do the job we hired you to do. We hired you not knowing what we were hiring. We thought you were coming to do accounting here. But now we realize that your presence here is for the atmosphere. Right. You seem to bring something here that education has never brought into this place. So please don't go. That's when you're going to be asked the same question that Laban asked. Laban told Joseph, Jacob, name your salary. Because you name your salary. Yeah, you name your salary. Somebody's going to receive that offer. Yeah. Somebody's going to be asked, how much do you want to be paid? You tell us, how much do you want to be paid? What do you think you are worth? As you follow the Lord, it pays to have Jesus. And it pays to be serious with your relationship with Him. And I pray that God will establish Christ and that Christ will be formed in your life. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring a service to the close. Bring the service to a close right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody close your eyes, please, as we bring the service to a close. I want you to bow your head and begin to pray. This is a personal moment. This is a time to commune with God. It's not about who brought you to church or how you came to be here or who you came along with, who is sitting next to you. All these people don't matter at this point. The only person who matters is the one because of whom you're here, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ himself. This is your opportunity to connect with Jesus and to reach deeper into him and to have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, how you need this relationship with Jesus. How you need this relationship with Jesus. But it begins with Jesus forgiving your sins. Because our sins, the Bible says, separate us from him. Our sins just make it so hard and impossible for God to do anything for us or to relate with a holy God. And yet, complex as our sins may be, it only takes an acknowledgement of our sins and an acceptance that only Jesus can take them away. And that alone will just take away your sins. Just acknowledging that you're a sinner and believing that Christ is the solution to your sins will take your sins away. It will wash them away. The Bible says, though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. God will take them away. God will wash them away. Thank you, Jesus. So this afternoon, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me, because today I want to make that connection with Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want my sins to be forgiven. Today, I want to be a child of God. I want his blood to wash me. I want Jesus to wash me and to cleanse me. And I want to have a true relationship with Jesus. If you're here this afternoon and that is your prayer, I want to pray with you. Just show me who you are. Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Just quietly, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, please just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. And there may be some people here this afternoon also. You may have given your life to Christ, but you know in your heart you have not followed through with it. You have not been serious with that relationship. And God wants to heal that brokenness. God wants to heal that broken relationship. God wants to fix it. He wants to put you back together again. He wants to put you back on course. He wants to put you back on course. He wants to put you where you belong in him, so that you can have a meaningful relationship with Christ. God wants to give you that opportunity today. Don't turn it down. Don't turn it down. Don't turn it down. This is not one of those things you turn down. This is the determinant of the rest of your life. It's the determinant of your future. It's the determinant of your destiny. This is it. This is life itself being offered you. And I don't want you to turn it down. So if any of those two categories fits you, just raise up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Just keep your hand up. I see it. God bless you. Just keep your hand up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just keep it up. We're talking about a relationship between you and God. Just keep your hand up. I see your hands. God bless you. Let's just pray together. Just keep those hands up and let's pray together. Let's just pray together. Keep your hand up and let's just pray together. Say with me right where you are. Everybody just join as we say this prayer together. Say with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I recognize that only you can save me. Only you can forgive my sins. And you died to save me. So Jesus, please come into my heart. Let your blood wash me. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me, Jesus. Forgive me. I want to return to you, Lord. I want to start all over again. I want to begin a new walk with you, Jesus. From today, I begin a new walk with you. Say, devil, you are not my master. You're up to no good. You want to destroy my life. You want to ruin my destiny. But I will not allow you, because Jesus is my Lord. From this moment forward, I serve Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my master. And Jesus is my Savior. I live for Jesus every day of my life. From this moment forward, I belong to Jesus. Say, hear me, devil. I belong to Jesus. My life belongs to Jesus. My future belongs to Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Now, before you sit down, I want us to come before the Lord's table. Amen. We want to have communion. Communion stands for the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a token connection with the power that saves, the power that heals, the power that forgives. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to bring this round, and everyone just grab one. Amen. Just grab one, and then we're going to eat and drink it together. Hallelujah. Brothers, sisters,
we are one, and our lives have just begun.
Oh,
in the Spirit, we are young, and we'll live forever.
Sons
of God, hear His holy word, gather round the table of the Lord, eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah. said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He which came down from heaven gives life to the world. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. Real life is to know Jesus. Real life, to be truly living, is to know Jesus, is to have Jesus as the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. And today I want us to receive the bread of life. Amen. A bread of life means bread that gives life. It means bread that cuts off death and sickness. It's bread that fights anything that shortens life. Bread that fights anything that threatens life. Bread that contends for your life. And that's the bread you're receiving today. Hallelujah. So take out the bread with me and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus
Christ. Say the bread of life.
The bread of life.
Say the body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
You may eat the bread. He said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. This is the life of God coming into you now in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for the life of God.
Thank you for the life.
Thank you for the supernatural life that gives us victory. Victory over the things that have defeated us for so long. The things, the sins that so easily beset us, the things that have marked our lives, the victories we have often lost. Thank you for something that empowers us to be able to have victory and to live in and walk in the power that you promised us. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name. Say the blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
You may drink it. On a hill far away
stood a old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love
everybody, and receive a blessing. Father, we thank you for the blessing of God that comes from every encounter with a cup of blessing. Thank you that this cup of blessing is introducing the power of God, introducing a blessing upon every life here today to fight every curse that is standing up tall in our lives. In the name of Jesus, let every frustration be cut off. Let every frustration be cut off. Let every devourer of life be rebuked in the name of Jesus. And may the way be made for your people to experience the power, to experience the riches, to experience the wisdom, to experience the strength, to experience the honor, to experience the glory, and to experience the blessing that comes with knowing the Son. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing today in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord and please.